Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast today. I hope you enjoy it. But first, I want to ask you a question. Are you someone who has high upside potential in your business, and yet sometimes that goal is just hard to get to, and maybe the only way you've seen to get to it is just to make more calls, you know, work harder? Well, if you're fed up with using old strategies to solve new problems, then I might have a solution. It's my 5-day Million Dollar Seller Challenge. We meet 1 hour a day in a coaching intensive where I will teach you 5 moves that you can make to scale your results without working harder. To learn more, click the link in the show notes or go to milliondollarsellerchallenge.com. People buy from you because they trust you. So how do you build trust, and how do you build it in advance of a face-to-face meeting? In this episode, I interview a really special guest. She's really good. She runs a company called Brand Magnetic. Her name is Mariana Henninger, and she talks a little bit about the stories that resonate with your prospects and your customers that create an emotional connection. I really think you're going to like this episode. This is my conversation with Mariana Henninger. So we're talking today with Mariana Henninger, and she is a special guest. She's going to be giving us some insight and some instruction on personal brand videos. We've been talking about this here on this podcast and YouTube channels and advanced selling for many months, if not years, if not decades. And so we finally brought somebody on who knows what the hell they're doing. And so, Mariana, thank you for joining me today.
So awesome to be here, Bill. My pleasure.
So here's the way I'd like to start this is you have a ton of background in film and acting, just the whole Hollywood thing, maybe not in Hollywood, but the whole film thing. So give us a couple minutes on background on who you are and how you came to this place where you work with people on video.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm what I call a veteran documentary filmmaker. I've been a journalist for 15 years, kind of traveled the globe, everything from squishy sea cucumbers in Haiti to Afghanistan to Bedouin tents in the Middle East. I've kind of been everywhere and done a lot of things, typically in the sort of 2 to 4 minute, very personal, intimate documentary type video at the end of it. And so what I love about that is that I'm really obsessed with beautiful, passionate, personal, intimate storytelling that causes you to think in a different way or see life in a different way, see something from somebody else's perspective. And I kind of came to a moment in my life after 15 years where I've always known that I've had an entrepreneur inside of me. I call her closeted entrepreneur. And the way I know this is because I've always started these mini businesses, these side hustles. But at the end of the day, I was a filmmaker, and that was my main thing. And so I could never really focus on any business outside of that. And I came to sort of a moment where I was like, wow, this would be crazy for me to leave this career. I'm an Emmy Award winner. I have 2 nominations. I have all of these, awesome, you know, pretty great accolades that I've accumulated over the years. What if I were to leave all that to start my own business? And then I also thought, well, it'd be crazier if I didn't. And so what happened was I was very attracted to the online space. So I work mostly with folks in businesses in the online space. And I realized, I was like, wow, I'm meeting such great people. But you know what? After a while, everyone starts to look the same. Everyone starts to sound the same. Their content sounds the same. Their copy looks the same. Why are people not using their story to stand out? And obviously, the more I learned about sales and marketing, the more I became obsessed with it and realized that, wow, this is something that people are not tapping into. The idea that you can use your story as a vehicle to accelerate trust, to help you stand out, and to essentially increase sales. It's better for your business. It's better for people who are coming into your universe to know who that person is behind the offer. So whether you have brick and mortar, whether you have a service-based industry or service, and whether you're online or offline, at the end of the day, people care. They really, really do care who it is behind the business, who they're giving their money to. Ultimately, who are they going to work with to get to the results that are being promised? If you're just focused on value, 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 I'm the expert, here are the results that I'm promising you, you sound like everyone else. So the thing that really sets you apart is owning who you are, what your personality, your drive, your mission, all of those beautiful, amazing things that we connect with on a human level, you should bring to your business in the form of a brand video. And so it's been awesome to see results from my clients of this theory I had of like, why are we not doing this?
Yeah, you know, I've been preaching this for years, is that in especially in the business-to-business space, which is where most of our listeners are, you matter. I mean, your story matters. Who you are matters. How you conduct yourself matters. And if you're just a telephone person and you're just trying to book appointments, maybe not. But if you're a professional salesperson, you're out ushering your prospect through complex processes and understanding the needs and the dilemmas and all that, who you are matters. And so, but I get this a lot of times, like, you know what? I don't matter. It's the company that matters. And of course, I have some reaction to that. But tell me what your reaction. You probably heard that before. It's like, you know,
I shook my head.
Yeah. So tell me your reaction. How would you handle that?
At the end of the day, you know, people do business with people. They're buying the trust that they have in you, that what you're saying is right, what you're saying is honest, what you're promising you'll actually deliver on, and that ultimately that you care, whether you're the, you know, sort of person in front of the business where you're just the sale, if you will, just the salesperson, which is not just like you're the point of contact
right
with new customers. That's super important. They want to know that you actually mean what you're saying, that you actually care about them and care about their results. And I think that people can approach, you know, a sales position in many different ways. You might just be, you know, like, I just want to hit these numbers. I just want to get this commission. But ultimately, if you are bringing yourself as a human, that is the way that you're going to hit numbers and get those right. commissions.
That's right.
Because that's what people respond to. They don't want to be sold to. They want to buy with a friend. They want to know that you are on their side of the table. I heard it once described this way. Like, yeah. I want to know that if you're selling me something, you actually are going to stand beside me, and I can trust you that what you're showing me is actually the best thing for me. So 100%, we need to double down on showing up as a human.
You know, that is so vital too, is we throw that word trust around a lot, and whether it comes out as rapport or trust or authenticity and all those silly terms. But the bottom line is that one thing that builds trust is face-to-face interaction. If you and I were stuck in an elevator for 4 hours together and it was just you and I, and we started to get to know each other, we would really get to know a lot about each other. We would trust each other. But you don't have that privilege sometimes when you're face-to-face with somebody,
right?
For 10, 15 minutes. Yeah. So I've always thought that one great way to build that trust is through digital, through video. You don't have to be there telling your story. You can tell your story on video prior to you showing up, which I think is a little bit of what you're talking about. So let's get into, I've watched a couple of your videos. By the way, you can find out more about Mariana at brandmagnetic.com, brandmagnetic.com. There's a video there and also a little training that she offers, which is really good. I just took it today. Tell us the difference in the stories, because I know you have differentiated between several stories, and how would I know what story should I be telling on this video?
Yeah, so Bill, just to clarify, I believe that storytelling is such an important, powerful tool that you should use all throughout your sales process. I, in particular, right now with my business, I focus on one specific story. So this is the story of who you are. So not to confuse folks, again, storytelling, a lot of the principles that we'll talk about today apply to all sorts of stories that you can use in your business. They might be client success stories. They might be, anyway, lots of different stories that you can use. I focus specifically on brand story. And the way that I define a brand story is the parts of the story that you can tell about yourself that resonate with your audience and that create that emotional connection that most matches what trust looks like for your audience. Let me simplify that a little bit. You just mentioned trust as kind of being the sort of umbrella term that we talk about, right? We want to build know, like, and trust with our audience because we know that once they trust us, they're a lot more ready to buy from us. They are confident that we've got them, all of those good feelings. The way that I approach a brand story is to, first of all, really understand, dive deep, several layers deep into what exactly trust looks like for your audience. So when you're talking about the person who has just bought from you, what exactly did they feel? What exactly was it about you? And what did it make them feel? So looking into the different facets of trust and then reverse engineering that by backing into your story and looking at all of the possible things you could talk about and identifying which stories are going to create the closest or ideally the exact feeling that you want to create after somebody's watched your brand video. So it really is starting with your audience first, starting with your customer first, that customer who loves you, who's ready to buy from you, who has just bought from you, who's a raving fan. And if they can remember, I mean, depending on how long ago it was that they purchased, what was it about you that made them
go? You can ask them, can't you? I mean, can't you go and ask?
Absolutely, you should be having these conversations with your audience. I call them the why did you buy? Why did you buy? Which obviously can be phrased in a much more eloquent way. But ultimately, that's what you want to get to. Really understand what was it about all of these different touch points that you had with me that got you to trust. And so what happens is like we typically people have either one of two stories. And this is really dependent on kind of where you are in the business, whether you're the face of your business, whether you're the salesperson in your business, this might differ a little bit. But if you are ultimately selling something to someone that's based on an experience or you know, something that you overcame yourself. So this could be a product or this could be a service if you're in the coaching business, for example. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just a quick example of a money coach who maybe in the past couldn't get ahead with money, felt like they were living paycheck to paycheck, like, oh, I can't accumulate wealth. What is going on? I make good money, but I can't keep it. Then they figured out the systems to overcome that. They realized like they had to do certain things and now they're helping people with that. So that's just a really quick example of what I call an overcome story. An overcome story simply means you had an old normal, something happened, you fixed it. There was a moment where there was a pattern interrupt and now you have a new reality. The other type of story is a passion story. Now, a passion story is for somebody like me who is a filmmaker, but I'm not talking to filmmakers, I'm talking to business owners. And so what I want to do is think about, again, I've now done audience research and now understood why people become my clients. And the secret sauce for me was in part expertise and in part the color. So my expertise as a filmmaker is huge for them, but it's also the fact that I've always been an entrepreneur. So I get it. I have that same fire. I have that same drive. And so I've looked for stories. So we're looking for stories in my case, and this applies for most folks that have a passion story, stories of expertise, not leaning heavily on expertise because you'll probably be talking about your expertise in different posts and different emails. So that it's easy to talk about ourselves as the experts. We're also looking for stories that show color and show the passion, show the drive. And so that's what I've looked for as I'm creating my own brand video as we speak. It'll hopefully be done very soon. But the idea was that I'm looking for stories that are that bring people in. We're looking for what's called narrative transportation. We're trying to get them to an emotional state as they're watching your 2 to 4 minute brand video where they're not thinking about what am I going to be sold? How much is it going to cost? What are the nuts and bolts, like the features, the aspects, the bullet points? None of that matters. I'm just connecting with you as a person.
It's so perfect and yet so hard to do. Someone's listening to this and they're saying, okay, I have a lot of passion. Let's say I'm in the dental industry and I love helping dentists. Well, okay, everybody would say that who's in that industry. I'm wondering if this whole, and you talked about a little bit, although you didn't call it this story, the story of bother. Like, you know, I've been in this industry, I'm just using the dental industry because I have a lot of listeners who are in the dental business for some reason, is this idea that, you know, I was in this business and several things that I noticed when I talked to dentists, number one, they really struggle with this. And number two, and I often wondered to myself, why do they struggle with that so much? And so I set out on a mission to understand that kind of story is valuable, I think, because it tells the viewer that, okay, this person is listening to other people like me And they came to a realization. They came to a pivot point at some point where they said, screw it, I'm going to learn why this is. Mm-hmm. And today I have learned why that is, and I want to share it with you, that kind of thing. Is that an appropriate story? Is that a passion story, or does it really need to fit into a category?
Bill, let me try to understand. I'm not sure I quite understood the example that you gave.
Yeah, it's because it wasn't understandable. So I didn't say it right. Speaking of storytelling, I better tell a better story. Yeah, so I'm a dental salesperson.
Okay.
And I'm going to do a brand video. I wasn't a dentist, so I can't do an overcome story.
Right.
So I have to figure out, well, what's the story I'm going to tell in this brand video? One option is the story of observation. As I've gone about calling on dentists, I've observed things, number one, number two, and number three. And it became apparent to me that dentists everywhere were struggling with this. And so I decided to put together a thing or a solution that would help dentists solve this problem.
Got it. Amazing. Thank you so much for clarifying that. Mm-hmm. So I would say that instead, what you just described to me sounds a little bit more like a marketing video, which super helpful, super, you know, powerful in and of itself.
But
what I would want to know in this person's brand video, what I would want to see is why exactly they felt the draw to fix this problem. Okay. What was it about this problem that was nagging at them so much that they couldn't not fix it? They could not be the ones to bring the solution. Yeah. And if I'm going to give you an example to kind of let you see and show you how there are parallels that we sometimes don't see in ourselves, but they exist. The reason being, Bill, I believe you should be doing something that in some way or another fulfills something inside of you. So even if there might not be at face value a reason for you to be selling dental equipment or servicing dentists because you're not obsessed with teeth, but there's got to be some other reason you're doing that. And truly, I would say if you're not doing something that you're passionate about, maybe there's a moment in your life where you can do that, where you might have a career change. But anyway, so let's say what I'm looking for are the ways in which, again, the reason you're doing this was evident in some other way. So let me give you an example. I worked with a client who her brand was the podcast teacher. So she essentially teaches you how to create a podcast. At the time, she didn't have her own podcast. And so we couldn't talk about that. And she had like a really interesting story of how she even got into that. So it actually wasn't that interesting. And so what I pulled out of her, what we worked together on, was really seeing, okay, so why are people drawn to you as the person who is solving their podcast problem? And so what came out of that was they love the way I teach because I used to be an elementary school teacher. So I have I'm a great teacher. But in addition to that, she is amazing with systems and processes and order. And so the way that we illustrated that in her brand video was I asked her about her hobbies. I was like, okay, so what do you like to do? So there were things that came out from her childhood and there were things came out from her hobbies. One thing that came out from her childhood was that she would love to put markers in rainbow order. Now, to me, that's very endearing. That's cute. That's relatable. Like I have a kid, he's always playing with markers. That's sort of a very familiar thing. And it probably is to whoever's watching this as well. And so the idea that it's this little girl, like putting markers in order, loving order from when she was a kid. And then the second example is that the podcast teacher, she loves jigsaw puzzles. Now you might be thinking, what does a jigsaw puzzle have to do with podcasting? Well, technically nothing. However, a jigsaw puzzle is what? A bunch of different pieces that are out of order. Nothing makes sense. I'm overwhelmed. I have no idea what to do until I have a guide, until I have a roadmap, until I have this thing that I'm following to get to a beautiful, perfect picture that makes sense, that makes me feel good, that's beautiful to see. And so it's really looking for, again, the parts of your story that are going to resonate with your audience, that are going to create that connection in their mind. So even if what you're doing might seem disconnected from who you are,
right?
I can promise you we can find a link there and just capitalize on that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, is that if I'm selling medical devices, I may not have a passion for medical devices, but somewhere deep down, there's a reason I'm even in this business.
Exactly.
And the key is to sort through all the BS to get to the real reason that I'm in the business and figure out a way to characterize and verbalize that. That might be the beginning of story. I think the biggest challenge there, Mariana, we're talking with Mariana Henninger anyway, by the way, today, and she can be found at Brand Magnetic, should be on the screen there, is how do you do that? I mean, do you need another human being there with you to do that? Because sometimes as a coach, I feel like people on their own, it's very difficult to get to that core reason.
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. I mean, it definitely is a lot of soul searching if you're doing this on your own. The way that I describe it is even the best surgeon in the world will have a hard time operating on him or herself, right? And so it really helps to have either working with a professional or with somebody who, and I would say if it's somebody that knows you, that sounds great, that could be great, but I would just really make sure that they understand your audience. At the end of the day, it's all about who you're speaking to and what we want them to feel. What is that feeling that we want to create in them? And so that's an important aspect. Maybe you do this exercise with a really great client who has had an awesome time working with you and who would chat with you and kind of give you honest feedback about, hey, if I told this story, would that resonate with you? Do you think that's weird? Like, how does this land for you? And so I agree with you. It's quite challenging to do it on your own. It can be done. I'm doing it myself and I'm really, you know, going through the exercises of seeing where, like, it's helping me help my clients even better that I'm doing it on my own, but it's quite a muscle you need to exercise. So
it is.
I recommend doing it with somebody else.
But there, like anything, there's always a way. And sometimes that way is just a Google Doc where you start to document, okay, bullet points, and enact the bullet point and just go down and start talking, just talk to yourself a little bit. I've even had a lot of clients just record themselves telling their story and then they'll send it to me and then we'll say, that didn't quite hit. I didn't get anything out of that. Go deeper. Send it back and go deeper. It's Bo Eason. I don't know if you're familiar with Bo. He's a storytelling magnate and mensch, and I've been in a couple of his programs over the years, and he says the deeper the story, the more universal the story.
If it's
just about dental equipment, only dentists can figure that out. But if it's about something deep in your soul that you struggled with, everybody understands the thought of struggle. And so anytime you can go deep enough, that will help. Quick question before we finish up today. We're talking to Mariana Henninger. Is it Henninger or Henninger?
Both are accepted.
Okay. No big deal. Sorry, Mariana for friends.
For sure, yeah.
So we get this video done and let's just say we take a stab at something that's maybe we can't afford to hire a filmmaker like you, or maybe we can. I would encourage you to go to brandmagnetic.com and see how her program works, because some of the examples I saw were stellar. I mean, they were really good.
Thank you.
And so you may want to go down that path, or you may want to try it on your own first. But let's say you try it on your own. You have a 2 or 3 minute brand video. Where should I be putting that?
Yeah, great question, Bill. I love it when people ask this question, because then you're starting to see, okay, I get the value. So that's usually the very next question that you would ask is, okay, how do I actually put this to work? And so if you're familiar with the terminology in marketing, top of funnel, that's exactly where your brand video should live. And what that means is the very first thing that people see when they come into your universe, when they connect with you, should be your brand video. Why? Because it's going to be the lens through which they see every other touch point that they have. Excellent. So, you know, in the analogy that you used earlier about having a coffee chat or having the sort of in-person connection with someone, which is not scalable, unfortunately, you know, but every time, once you've done that, every time that person comes into your inbox or you see them on social media or whatever sort of other touch point that you're having, maybe you're sending postcards, you're going to remember that interaction, right? When it comes from somebody that you've built that emotional rapport with. And so what we're looking for is if you are the face of your brand, so let's say you are the dentist, then it should be sort of on your homepage. If that's not the case, then on the About Me page, the About Us or the About Me or Meet Our Team or whatever that looks like, that's actually the second most visited page on any given website. Yep. And we tend to neglect that, Bill, right? We'll write our bio back in like 1990. You wrote like two paragraphs about yourself and stuck it there and never touched it again.
It's still there, yeah.
And probably wrote it like really grudgingly, like, oh, this is so hard to do. I'm just going to write about myself for two paragraphs. No, that's
done.
Really
done with that project.
Right. It's like the thing that you never get to revise your bio. But it's really important real estate that we should not be neglecting. So your brand video should live there as well. A couple other places, it should be pinned on the top of your social media profile. So if you're like LinkedIn, it should be sort of a featured post there. Wherever else you are, it should be top. And it should be, again, visible to everyone who's coming into that page.
I wonder why LinkedIn, this is an aside, I wonder why LinkedIn doesn't allow you to post your video. I mean, you're not a LinkedIn person, but in the profile section, it seemed like that would be the ideal place for it versus saying, well, check out the feature, because you may have several videos in the feature section. I know you can say which one plays first, but it seems like they should have one in the profile section. That would be the logical place. Anyway,
Bill, I mean, one can only hope that brand videos catch on so much. Yeah. Everyone has one, regardless of what that looks like. You know, it's still gonna work for your business. One can only hope that's the direction we're going. This is what we want. We want personal connection. So it makes sense to sort of prioritize that.
So here's another question. So we talked about pinned videos. We talked about if you have a web page, maybe that has your picture. A lot of companies will have each of their sales professionals have their own page just a little bit. That would be a place for it.
Your email signature is also another place. If your business is sending a welcome sequence when somebody signs up for something and they're now on your email list, if you should have an email in that sequence where you're sharing your story,
that's a good idea. So
that's where your brand video would live as well. In fact, I had a client who experimented with this, and I always give her credit for this. Wasn't my idea, but it was so brilliant. She decided to create different GIFs from her brand video, and she interspersed them in that welcome email or in that one email where she's sharing her story. So she's always had that in her welcome sequence. And at the end, she would say, "What's your story? Reply back and let me know." And she would get very, very few responses from that, which is understandable. You know, people are just coming in, getting to know her. But once she not only interspersed those gifts, but linked to her brand video, she said her response rate skyrocketed.
Yeah.
People felt like they were responding saying, "Wow, I loved your story." I mean, it's the same story, Bill. It's the exact same story. And yet when they watched it in a brand video, they felt so seen. They felt like they knew her. There were people writing her saying, "I've listened to your podcast for a year, and yet I now feel like I really know you." And so it really should, like, you can't underestimate the power of doing this and the how people react when they feel emotionally connected to you. Yeah. So that's another place.
And it's so missing today. I mean, especially with all the remote work and the virtual stuff, it's so missing. I've been telling people to, when they shoot this, and I have been referring to it as a positioning video, but it could be brand video. When you have an appointment with somebody and it's a cold appointment, they don't know who you are or much about you. That's the, before that appointment, you should send them a link to that. So at least they can become comfortable. So now when you show up on the appointment, you're kind of a known person. There's a little bit of trust there versus just totally cold person on a screen, six inches from the camera.
Bill, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because there's actually an example I read in a book, and I believe it was a book called The Visual Sale, and it talked about a guy named, I want to say John, so let's just go with John. Yeah. He worked in a business that sold pools, and so typically what would happen was a family, or let's say someone, would book an appointment with John. John would come over, look at their backyard, assess their pool situation, kind of give them a quote, right? Super standard operating procedure for a sale. And then John decided to create a very prototypical brand video where it's a little video. He introduces himself and he put that in his email, exactly what you just described. This email was going out to folks right before their interaction in person. And guess what? When John would open up the door, they would be like, "Oh, hey, John, I know you," right?
Yeah.
we cannot, I mean, the magic of that interaction versus just like, oh, hey, I'm John. I work for the pool company. Oh, okay. So let's go to your back. No, it's John, the guy that you know something about and that you've resonated with and that you've connected with. And now you remember him and you'll never forget John. It's John, you know? And so this is the power that we're missing and that we can, it's at our fingertips to sort of capitalize on this magic of human connection.
Yeah. I think the thing we have to get over here is that this video is not good for you. It's good for them, because we say that we want to differentiate ourselves and we say, well, we're really into customer service and customer success and all that. And I think, well, if you don't have any video, are you really into customer success? Because if they don't buy from you, they're not going to get the success. In order for them to buy from you, they have to trust you. Why do we think shooting a video is the burden's on us to shoot it, but really it's helpful for them because it allows them to sort out all the other garbage out in the marketplace and go to the person that they trust. How much more of a service can we be than that? So that's my reframe of it. And to the extent that would help listeners, you have to do it for your customer. Okay. Take yourself out of it. No, I'm not good on camera. No, I don't want to hear that. You'll figure it out. Just do it until you're good on camera.
Exactly. You do get used to it.
Then you'll get used to it. Yeah. We've been talking with Mariana Henninger today. We really appreciate it. Once again, you can go to brandmagnetic.com. She's got some free training there. Pop in your email address and name. And there's a 10 or 11 minute video that she really walks through some more of this. Mariana, I really appreciate you being here today. And hopefully we can do this again sometime soon.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Bill. Love doing it.
Bye-bye. Bye.